Hey, everybody. First of all, this is Henry, and this is the second episode of the Muni Pros podcast. And I'm alongside here my good friend.
What's up, guys? This is Chet.
What's
up? Chet Jameson.
There we go. We got his full name in there this time. Hey, first, we just want to extend just as much thanks as we can give out to our listeners. We had a very overwhelmingly positive response to the first episode, which just got us more excited to get back in here and do this again.
Yeah, 100%. It was incredible. We got a lot more streams on it than we could ever imagine for a first episode.
For a first episode about, you know, with two guys who really don't know what the heck they're talking about, I was thrilled. And, you know, just seeing, you know, getting those random texts kind of, you know, throughout the day we dropped the episode definitely just makes me want to get back in here. And I hope that not only are they listening to the first episode, but I hope you know all you guys out there are ready to dive in for this second episode, and you know, aren't just listening because of our good looks. So,
right.
So we're getting
there. They can't see our good looks, but that's okay.
Well, last week they couldn't.
We had some issues with the camera, so this week we're definitely putting it on YouTube. It'll be on YouTube. And then we'll throw some clips on the Instagram and Twitter.
Yep,
so.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So we got, hopefully most of the, you know, technical issues sort of worked out, but, you know, as with you guys here learning about golf, we are learning about podcasting. And you know, we're well on our way to being up to Barstool Riggs level, but right now, you know, next week we'll be at Pinehurst, you know?
Yeah. We'll stay there.
We're
for
still
a couple
peasants
months.
This week,
that's
but
a right.
lot to dive into this week, Chet. Shriners Children's Hospital Open, which is a very storied tournament. It's been around for quite a long time. What is it? TPC in Summerlin? That's
Yes.
TPC Summerlin, which is always a great course to get out there. You know, during the year, you see quite a few tournaments pop up at TPC courses, most notably TPC Sawgrass. So we love when we're able to see other TPC courses out there. You know, Waste Management's also one of them.
Yeah,
but
yep.
Shriners Children's Hospital is always a great one to watch. Pretty solid field this week.
Yeah.
I think, you know, going into it, it's kind of that part of the year right now where I think, as you know, casual fans, it's, you know, you're picking up, getting ready to go to the holidays. So I feel like a lot of times, you know, during the major part of the season, my Twitter is usually filled with you know, people talking about, you know, this person on the course or that person at the course. But I thought Twitter was a little dead this week.
It was. It was. Yeah.
But it was definitely interesting. But it was a great tournament. If you know you like to see lots of birdies, it was not so much a great tournament. If you like to see a close come down to the wire,
right? Yeah.
But you know, I think going into it, there was a lot of names that were out there to prove something. Most notably, you know, we're gonna talk about Matt Wolf.
Oh yeah.
I think you know, we can start with Matt Wolf here. So I was definitely impressed with his play.
Yeah, he kind of turned it around. Finally,
which for those casual listeners, if you don't know about Matt Wolf, he's part of the they're not really a new class now,
right?
But he was part of three people who came into the tour: Victor Hovland, Morikawa, mm-hmm. And him, Matt Wolf, who was just this very uber talented class of golfers. And as you've seen, I think we talked about a little bit last week, you know, Victor's gone on to win. Colin, obviously, has gone on. He's got two majors already. And Matt Wolf has the 3M Open.
Yep. Was hoping to get a second this weekend. He had a shot.
He was definitely looking like it.
He was in the mix, so, which is good to see. I'm glad to see he's up there again and battling.
The best thing about seeing him up there and playing well is, you know, he took that little break for mental health, which was kind of right around the time. I think it was the young tennis player who took a break. And then, you know, you saw Rory kind of defend her and say, you know, you have to do what's best for you.
Yeah, Bubba and spoke on it too.
Bubba Watson.
Bubba, he took a big break, I think, too, or he at least focused on that for quite a while.
Oh, absolutely.
We talked about
Bubba last week. You know, he is kind of one who, before it was, something that you see more before it was in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. Bubba was one to talk about mental health.
Yeah.
Before, all it kind of started getting covered by sports networks in the news.
Which is something that needs to be covered.
It absolutely needs to be covered. Because Matt Wolf is a great example of why you need to do something like that.
Yeah.
He was not playing well.
He wasn't.
I remember, you know, he shot an 80-something in a tournament and withdrew the next day. So for a 22, 23-year-old.
I think so. I can check.
to take a step away from, you know, what arguably, you know, a year prior to him stepping away, he's thinking, oh, my gosh, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
something you've been working on your entire life, and you're finally here. But, you know, we don't know the pressures and the mental toll it takes. Of traveling, of media.
Being away from family,
As a young person, there's a lot of things in this world that can tempt you to go the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're one of the greatest that plays the game right now, you know, you also are putting immense pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
So to see him step away, come back, and check and walk us through, he was pretty well in it.
He was.
Till what?
Sunday. He was definitely in it, like you said. Sunday, hole 13, I was watching. That's where he kind of just gave up, I felt like. I mean, they obviously never give up, but it's kind of whenever it took a turn for the worst, I think. Sungjae Im had a 5-shot lead. Matthew Wolf was on hole 13. Par 5, bunkers along the left-hand side off the tee in the fairway. He took 3-wood off the tee. They mentioned on the broadcast that he wasn't feeling greatly confident with his driver. I think he was getting a lot over the top, which definitely showed in that tee shot. He hooked his 3-wood, overhooked it a little bit, overdrew it. And landed kind of in the front lip of the bunker, I believe it was the first bunker. But, yeah, he landed front lip and tried to take a wedge out, kind of hit behind it a little bit. Duffed it out. He got out, which is good. But he was in the rough. He was hitting off a downslope, and it kind of dipped really quick right in front of him. So it was an upslope right in front of him. Tried to take like a three or four. Hit a little thin. And hit it right into the bank. And that's just, he kind of let go of the club one-handed, and that's whenever you saw his confidence kind of go out the window.
Absolutely. Now, in Matt Wolf's defense, though, and I think this is a great segue here, you know, he was in it.
He was.
But he, at the same time, he wasn't. Whether he bogeyed or birdied 13, Sungjae Im.
Sungjae Im, my pick, man.
So
my pick.
And we'll talk about this in our pick 'em section here. But, yeah, Sungjae Im absolutely went off. Let's see. I mean, he just was unflappable. I mean, even when he looked like he, you know, one arm release, it was dead in line with the flag. You know, his iron play. Now, and Sungjae Im is talked about quite a bit by analysts. He's always, you know, kind of someone's dark horse pick.
He is.
There's never really a tournament where he's the favorite.
Right.
But Sungjae Im can go out there and do exactly what he did this week. On Sunday, he was -9 through 13.
Yes.
We are getting ready to start #59watch.
Oh, we were. We were watching all day, man.
You know, it says here he had 9 threes in 12 holes, which for all you non-golfer fans.
9 threes.
I think I have 9 threes in like a 4-round stretch with lots of sixes and sevens as well.
Yeah. His iron play and wedge play was immaculate. I mean, it said he made 115 feet worth of putts through 17 holes, which is insane.
Yeah, that's...
Everything was just going right for him.
Yeah, I mean, 100 and what? You said 115?
115.
That's...
115 feet.
Not only is he hitting it close and making birdies, but that also means that he's not hitting it close and making birdies.
Yeah.
So when you're having a day like that, you know, give Matt Wolf credit. He played well. He fought. Was 13 his downfall? Maybe in a sense.
In a sense.
But I don't think anyone out there was going to go step up and beat Sungjae Im.
Yeah, he had a 5-shot lead, man.
As much as we want to say, you know, if we're in Matt Wolf's shoes and we're 5 down with 5 to play, 6 to play, and we're going to, you know, trudge through and try to birdie out, I mean, at some point you're kind of thinking like, I mean, birdieing out five holes on Sunday, that's tough. I mean, that's tough to do when there's not millions of dollars on the line.
Oh
so
cow, yeah.
Sung J.M. is just, you know, he is one of those players. And I actually, there is a fun little anecdote about him. I remember it might have been 2 years ago. It was definitely pre-COVID. But he actually played in the most events of anybody on the PGA
mm-hmm.
Tour that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like he had to do that, but he was essentially traveling from hotel to hotel and playing in every tournament and playing consistently well.
Very well.
It wasn't he was showing up and barely making the cut. He was top 25, top 15, getting a top 10, winning the Honda Classic. So Sung J.M. is and the telecast actually was talking about it yesterday as well. With his swing, with how he swings, you're not going to get a lot of injuries with it.
Mm-mm.
With how he and it, from the looks of it, it looks like he takes pretty good care of himself.
Yep.
But it, you know, Sung J.M. is going to be in the conversation for quite a while. Is he going to win 20, 30 tournaments?
I mean,
he could.
He could.
He absolutely
know.
Could.
You never know.
But you know, there's also a lot of other big names that we could certainly point to taking Sung J down. But
yeah.
If Sung J.M. comes out and plays every week like he did this week, I don't know if there's anybody that's going to beat him.
Oh my cow, yeah. He was so consistent and just kept his head down and just kept trucking, man.
Oh, even
it's crazy.
It was on. I watched the 18th hole, and for all you golfers who are listening out there, hitting into the sun
Ooh.
Is the worst
Ooh.
Thing. Whether it's morning or evening, if you got, you know,
makes
that
you
one hole
up.
That's dead into the sun, you're usually guaranteed to hit a bad shot because as soon as I always feel like as soon as I hit the ball, I'm looking into the fiery ball in the sky instead of watching where it goes, and usually
yep.
I lose it.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
yeah.
So, but he actually on 18, he hit. He was into the sun, and he kind of one arm finish,
mm-hmm.
and you hear him ask his caddy like, "Where to go?" You know, yeah. I don't see it, and then it lands literally on a line within the flag, but about 15 feet short. Yeah. Which, when you have a 5-shot lead, that's the play,
yeah.
you know, especially on the 18th hole with the water on the left. You know, it takes a little bit of guts to go at the pin,
right?
And even without being able to see it, he was pin seeking.
Yeah.
So very exciting for Sung J.M. I'm happy for him to get a win. It's his second one on tour.
Mm-hmm.
But
hopefully many more to come.
I'm sure
He's
there's
going to cool
be
guy.
Many more to come. And,
yeah.
You know, we were talking Ryder Cup last week. You got to think Sung J's obviously going to be a shoe-in for President's Cup.
President's
team.
Cup, yeah.
I mean, and, you know, the President's Cup with Sung J kind of making some moves, we're going to have a lot of guys where – making a run at that President's Cup team, and you got to think, you know, as far as what we saw from the Europeans and the Ryder Cup, I'm thinking just on a couple things I've seen early this season, late last season, we got a lot of international players that
yeah.
are going to make a run at, you know, I think they'd be better than Europe right now.
Yeah.
Considerably.
Right.
But we'll see that when the time comes.
Yeah,
we got a lot of season
know.
Left, and we got a lot of time to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, throwing it back to, you said the most events played. Got stats here. On the PGA Tour since 2017, Sung J.M. has played in 98 events. He's played 342 rounds. Total birdies, want to take a guess?
Oh, it's disgusting.
It.
How many total rounds?
342.
Oh, that's really fast math, Chet. Don't eat 18 times. You know what? I'm going to
just... Don't ever take it.
It's just 1,200.
That's close.
Oh.
1,413.
Oh.
How many eagles?
You got to be 400, 450.
Oh, no.
Too high?
Way too high. It's 41.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which is still impressive.
That math
but,
doesn't add up.
223 under par rounds out of 342. And then rounds of 67 or lower. I'll take a guess.
46.
86.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he's just an animal. He's like the silent killer.
Yeah, he is. He really... Anytime you watch Good Morning Golf or, you know, the live from whatever show they're showing before the tournament, Sung J.M. has never really talked about that much.
No.
But I swear he at least, you know, is he makes the cut. And he's sometimes, you know, maybe he's not up there top three, but you know, he's a guy you can go on a Sunday charge and a moving day charge. But I mean, yeah, those stats just prove even more that Sung J.M. is, he's a baller.
Yeah, 100%.
And he, you know, he's gonna win more than just two tournaments. I think, you know, you can put him in the list for maybe a chance at winning a major, absolutely, with his ball striking. Yeah. And obviously from what we saw yesterday, his putting is very good as well.
Yeah.
Which is what you need.
Yep.
So
yep. Short game, putting, which leads me to Phil Mickelson. Short game and putting. I mean,
Phil the thrill, man.
Phil the thrill. He played on the Champions Tour this week. Wish we could have saw him out at the PGA Tour, but yeah, he won again.
He's won three out of four
starts on the Champions Tour, which is just crazy. Is it almost too easy?
It's such a fine line because you got Phil. He just won the PGA in 2020. Well, 2021.
Yeah.
But you know, he goes out to the Champions Tour. It's like he's playing a different game than when he's on the PGA Tour. Now, I know it's a longer course. The courses are set up harder.
Right.
But, it, you know, if he's able to go out, you know, 75% win rate on the Champions Tour, I'd like to think he's got a couple more in the bag for the PGA Tour, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he just won the PGA Championship.
I think this Champion Tour thing, you know, him winning 3 out of 4, I think it is truly a testament that Phil was a generational talent. You're not going to see a talent like Phil. I mean, you got some young guys that could be in the conversation in 10, 15 years. But right now, I mean, you got Tiger, you got Phil.
Yep.
And then everybody else. You got those Ernies and VJs and those guys. But Phil is, without a doubt, the best second place finisher of all time. Unfortunately, he just played in the wrong era.
I mean,
Tiger, you can't do nothing when Tiger Woods Woods.
Yeah.
But go out 3 out of 4 wins on the Champions Tour. I can't say I'm overly invested in the Champions Tour.
I'm not either.
I do enjoy watching Bernhard Langer tear it up because the guy is a legend.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not only did he do very well on the PGA Tour, but you know, he's out there winning Champions events after Champions events.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it. But I think Phil, you know, whenever it is time for him to call it quits on the PGA Tour, he is the type of guy, I think he just loves the game. And he's going to be out there. He loves competition. And he's probably going to do very well on the Champions Tour.
He's still average drive distance on Champions Tour is 318. I mean, he's still got some bombs, man.
I saw a funny tweet, actually, Sunday about that. And it was literally a picture of Phil teeing off on a hole. And he was about, you know, as far past parallel as you can go before you're John Daly. And the caption was, this is a picture that sums up how I think Phil thinks about these tournaments. Because it's just grip it and rip it.
Oh, 100%.
With his short game and how, you know, the courses are shorter than the PGA Tour. He's able to undoubtedly, you know, get up and down relatively easy.
Yeah.
And because he's missing, where his drives are missing, if they are missing, they're 30, 40 yards closer than if he was on the PGA Tour. So when it is time for him to go, he's going to absolutely dominate, I think, because of his distance and his weird, just the way he is. It's just the Phil Mickelson,
Just the vibe, man.
The coffee and the hitting bombs. And I don't ever want it to stop. I love the media content king that is Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
Give me all the hitting bomb quotes and... I'm not going to lie, Phil. I think I might have better calves than him.
I do. That's bold.
Look, every
that's
once
bold.
If I walk a certain way, you can see veins in my calves. I don't see no veins in Phil's calves, okay?
You know, if I tie a string around my knee and just cut off the circulation enough, you'll see veins in my calves too.
Yeah, but then you won't be able to walk, Chad.
Oh, that's true.
let's just circle back. We got to touch on the other Rory.
Yeah.
He played this week at Shriners. You know, Rory actually, you know,
Rory Sabatini.
Rory Sabatini, yeah. Let me get that out here. Not Rory McIlroy.
Nope.
But they do, you know, usually they do have fun with it when they're both playing in the same event.
Right.
Because it's a tournament within a tournament.
Yeah.
Who's the better Rory?
Yep.
But the guy has been around for a long time. And we saw him make that incredible Olympics run to get bronze.
Yeah.
So he's been trending.
That's impressive.
And then we go to Shriners, and what did he fire up, Chet? It was 28. Crap. It was a 28 on the front nine.
Yeah.
He fired up a 28, kind of fizzled out there on the back nine. But there for, you know, that front nine making the turn, he was right up there with Sungjae too.
Yeah, he finished 19 under, tied for third.
So I think, you know, as if you're a European fan or just, you know, you've been around long enough that you're a Rory Sabatini fan, things are trending right for him. And it shows my favorite part of golf, which is it doesn't matter if you're 24, as flexible as can be, or you're Rory Sabatini,
who's 45 years old.
45. You can go out there and compete because golf, unlike basketball or football, is a different kind of athleticism. And it is. Yeah. Athleticism.
It is. But yeah, he shot 64 on Sunday. So, I mean, fell off on the back nine. It's kind of unfortunate, but I mean, he went 65, 66, 70, 64. Shoot 19 under. I mean, he's still competing, man.
I know. That's what's so great. Is you get all these old guys you know, we saw it in 09 with Tom Watson and Stuart Sink. You know, you see other examples of it, you know, Phil and Brooks even, at the PGA, where that's the best part too, is Sundays. You know, it comes down to, at that point, it doesn't matter about age, it's just who's got more guts and who's the better golfer.
Who's playing well that day or that weekend.
Yep.
I mean.
And, you know, that is what makes it is so exciting when you get Rory Sabatini's, you get Jim Furyk's. You get those older guys who are still able to compete with the young guns.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, this will not be the last time we talk about Rory Sabatini because it seems, and, you know, Chet can attest to this, he has been kind of showing up a little bit more in the later half of the 21 season and then, you know, so far, you know, the wraparound 2022 season.
Right, yeah.
You know, he's been showing up. So I think exciting for him. I hope he gets a win. It's been I haven't seen him get a win, and I mean, I was a young pup. So
yeah, I mean, he has 6 PGA Tour victories. I mean, he's definitely a player. It would be nice to see him win for sure. So yeah, he shot 28 on the front, and then shot even on the back.
Oh
so,
yeah.
I mean, he shot 19 under. Total for the tournament.
Yeah, so he was there. He was right there. And again, and we can say this, but if Sungjae doesn't do what Sungjae did, they're all Matt Wolf, Rory Sabatini, they're all right there.
It would come down to the wire for
because
sure.
it would have, you know, Sungjae just shot 10 under.
Yeah.
So I think overall a great tournament. You know, and the best part is that tournament always does a lot for charity. Which you always love to see. They get the kids out there kind of walking some practice holes with the guys. So usually a video or two will pop out where, you know, you got one of the, you know, Matt Wolf or somebody taking one of the kids and actually, you know, walking them through hitting a shot or making a putt for them or something. And you love to see the players get involved because that's really what it's all about. I mean, yes, they're playing for money, but, you know, these – especially the Shriners, you know, you get a couple tournaments a year that are for a children's hospital charity. So to see them raise money and get those kids involved and get them out of, you know, whether they're at home or, you know, in the hospital, you know, seeing them get to come out and see the best do what they do is always fun to watch.
It's inspirational, man. It's very inspirational because golf is, we mentioned, classy sport. It is. So they're always trying to do the best they can to, you know, promote inclusion, I'd say. I mean, golf's for everybody. Anybody can play it. I mean,
absolutely.
You play it till you die. So
that's the best part, too.
It is. It's cool to see anybody can get out there and play. Yeah. I mean, there's even handicapped people out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really cool. So golf is just, it's awesome.
And
that's
that's
why you love the game.
Exactly. No, and I think a great example that you know, some people actually might know about is the Gary Woodland. With there was a girl who had Down syndrome. Big Gary Woodland fan. And this girl is actually pretty dang good at golf.
She's
pretty good. So
here she is.
This tournament is coming up here in the spring, but it's the Waste Management. Gary took her out onto 16. At TPC Scottsdale, which for those of you who don't know, loudest hole in golf. I guarantee you've seen a Tiger Woods replay of him raising the roof.
It's been a meme.
And having a hole in one. So he actually took her out there. She hit a shot. She made par.
She did.
She made par.
Which is impressive.
I'm not making par.
There's no shot I'm making par either.
Not with thousands of people watching me. But, you know.
They're all rooting her on.
Oh, absolutely.
Gives you chills.
Well, later that year, Gary won the U.S. Open.
That's true.
And FaceTimed her.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that just shows not only are these kids getting something, you know, and getting something out of being with these players, but so are the players are getting something out of it.
Right, yeah.
And they're, you know, Gary doesn't have to do that, but, you know, he wants to.
It keeps them humble. It really does. You know, they get frustrated and, you know, may withdraw after shooting an 82 or whatever. But, and then you just sit back and realize, like, oh, I better be grateful for where I'm at.
Absolutely.
There's only like 100 players you get to do this, and I'm one of them. It just keeps you humble. And
because they put in all that work and
everybody's looking up to you, and
without even trying, they become automatically role models, and that's why, you know, the tournaments where the kids get involved are great. But speaking of kids. You know, those of you who are basketball fans, I'm sure you've heard of this guy. J.R. Smith.
J.R.
Played for the Nuggets, played for the Cavaliers.
Won a title with LeBron.
And he also cost LeBron a game
one.
Against the Warriors, which I'm gonna forget about it. I'm still not over that game. LeBron drops 51. Are you kidding me? Anyway.
This is a golf podcast.
J.R. Smith, actually, you know, I'm pretty sure he's retired full time from the NBA now.
I mean, yeah,
it would make sense if what we're talking about is what he's doing. But I'm sure he's also still in shape enough that he would have no issues going back out there. He probably wouldn't know what, you know, basket he's trying to score on, but that's beside the point. But J.R. Smith is playing for a college down in North Carolina. He's taking classes.
He's getting his degree, man.
He's actually tweeting about it. You know, he's tweeting about a communications class, and that he got like an 81 on his first presentation or something. So not only is J.R. Smith a real person, but he's just like us. He actually went to this college and asked. He's not on scholarship, so for all those people who are like, he's taking a spot away from someone else. He's not on scholarship and simply asked for a chance to try out for the team. Now, for those of you who don't know how college golf works, you usually have 10 to maybe 15 guys on a team. Tournaments only take 5 players. So usually coaches will do qualifying rounds, and if you're in the top 5 out of your whole team, you'll travel to the tournament and play. Well, J.R. Smith must have done something in practice because he's playing the 5 spot in this.
He qualified by one shot.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, qualified by one shot.
So he qualified by one shot, and he's playing in an ACC tournament. It's 3 days, a 36-hole round today, and then 18 tomorrow. So as of this morning, at first we thought it was an 81, but he actually shot an 83, confirmed. And from what I saw on Twitter before we started recording this today, he was 1 under through 4 on his second 18. So not only can J.R. Smith shoot and dunk and is a freak athlete, but apparently he's pretty dang good at
golf.
He's
pretty good,
because,
man.
Because me and Chet played some smaller time schools, but, you know, he's playing in an ACC tournament with UNC Greensboro and a couple other schools. So, I mean, I think the real thing we need to talk about here is how do you react if you are warming up on the range?
Oh, my.
You show up to your tee. Usually they do shotgun starts. You show up to your tee, and there is NBA, I'm not going to say legend, but NBA star, J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm always nervous at tournaments.
Dude, pee the pants, first tee shot.
Oh, my gosh.
Gotta change them real quick, and then you're good to go. But
yeah, what do you talk about?
Dude, I don't know.
Like yo, JR, so you want to go to this frat party with me? Like JR is, like, got to be late 30s. I mean,
yeah.
I just don't know.
What do you talk about?
Well, I mean, obviously, I feel like these kids, at least they get to, well, I guess that's not true. They'd be paired with a different school. I was going to say, if you get paired with someone on your team, these kids probably are a little starstruck. I'm sure they probably warm up to them. And I'm also sure JR is kind of used to that and probably breaks the ice before they even get the chance.
Yeah, for sure. He definitely understands where us normal people are.
Yeah, you got to set, I think, you know, before you tee off, you set the standard, like, hey, if you want pictures, we'll do it after the round. Yeah. You got to say something, because you don't want them coming up and just asking, you know, you're there to compete. So they got to be asking, like.
I mean, I have a feeling that, to go back to the picture thing, I feel like their coaches are probably telling them, don't ask for pictures.
That too, yeah.
Just leave him alone, because he probably doesn't want to be messed with.
Well, exactly.
I mean, you got to say something.
Yeah, I think if you're in a group with J.R. Smith, I would assume JR would probably break the ice. And I also think, you know, you might, you know, as with, you know, we know, anytime we got paired with somebody that we didn't know, first couple holes is just small talk.
Yeah, where are you from?
Yeah, you know, and you get a little acquainted with each other. Yeah. It's usually a 5.5 hour round in college tournaments anyway. Yeah. So I'm going to assume JR is probably a great guy to have in a group, because he probably keeps it pretty light, or he's the exact opposite and just overly serious.
Yeah, wants to be quiet,
but I think it's very cool. I think the best part about J.R. Smith doing this is, not only are you seeing a little bit of coverage over a random college tournament, but it's helping grow the game, because you got basketball fans who, I'm sure there's diehard J.R. Smith fans, as much as it saddens me to even think about. But you got them who might be following his golf career, and you know, he's doing pretty well. So
he is, yeah. It's impressive to see. I mean, 83 for his first college tournament.
The first
college tournament is probably the worst.
It's absolutely the worst.
You don't know what to expect. You've only played your teammates in qualifier rounds. It's not the same. You don't know what the competition's like. So it's just like, you really got to focus on playing your own game, which is the hardest part.
And I think that would be the hardest part as a student who is playing with J.R. Smith, because my thoughts immediately on the first tier are not going to be thinking about, like, I never was worried about other kids watching me hit.
Yeah.
But my thoughts would be like, oh my God, J.R. Smith is going to watch me. And I would just slice it or hook it or something.
Yeah.
But I think, and this has nothing to do with J.R. Smith, but I do want to point this out. I was thinking about it on the drive over here, about a talking point. Weather for college kids who play fall golf. I don't know what's happening, but I feel that I've been robbed, because what the heck? It is 81 degrees today.
Yeah.
When I was in college, you know, not only did I have to walk to school and it was uphill both ways.
Okay. Second of all,
I was playing in sleet. I was playing in 25 mile per hour winds, rain, you know, 45 degrees, and they're getting 80 degrees. Now, granted, it's my fault, because I went to school in Ohio. But second of all, I mean, kids, especially in Ohio, like this time of year, they're getting, the weather just seems like it's warmer longer. And me and you got gypped with some of the weather we had to play in.
Yeah. Granted, I'd still be playing if I would have stuck with it. But, you know, my back hurts just sitting here. So,
well, you know, your back probably hurts because of the walloping I gave you the last time we played. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually Chet beat me. I have no room to talk.
I did.
Okay. I think we got to segue now to probably the hypest news of the week.
Ooh.
The GOAT.
Tiger Woods.
He's been showing on the TV a little bit.
He's been on the TV.
There's Brant. Love me some Brant Snedeker.
Ong Hell. Whoops.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
Too soon?
It's a little too soon. For those of you who don't know, Ángel Cabrera is now in a Brazilian prison.
Yeah.
Or no, Argentinian prison.
Yeah.
because he's from Argentina. Anyway.
Drug issues. Anyway.
Tiger Woods was spotted with no leg support.
Yep.
Hitting the classic golfer's pose with leg wrapped around, leaning on a club, watching Charlie Woods, his son, who has grown exponentially, by the way.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But he was just, I think Charlie had a little golf tournament, and Tiger was there watching his boy. And if you'd like, I will have the picture of Tiger and his son tweeted after the show.
I sent it to you, didn't I?
You did. You did. I will
put it on the TV.
I can. I can do that.
If you have it ready.
Oh, I don't even have Instagram up. I cannot do that.
Okay. Never mind.
We will tweet the picture there so you can take a look at it. But he was spotted watching Tiger or Charlie with no leg support. First of all, just good to see him holding a golf club.
And out and about. And
He did have a sleeve on his leg. I'm not sure what that's for.
It's his ankle, though.
So, but
his knee issue.
I think, you know, the only thing I really took from the picture is, wow, Charlie's gotten really tall.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see him win the 2030 Masters.
Yep.
Second, Tiger's legs did look a lot skinnier than they usually do,
mm-hmm.
Which is to be expected.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing to take away from all this is Tiger Woods, man. He's
Tiger.
You're crazy to think, like, this man is standing on his own two feet. He's going to win.
With bolts and screws in his ankle, and he's coming back.
He's
coming back.
We're getting one more win. He's got to break Sam Snead's record.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, we don't want this to be the Tiger Woods show. We could just make this Tiger Woods show.
If you want us to. Let
please,
us know in the comments.
Yeah, comment and tell us because we love Tiger. But it's exciting. The thing, you know, about Tiger is he is the game of golf.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, the Shriners was going on, but the only thing I could really see golf writers tweeting about at, you know, one point Saturday was, holy crap, Tiger Woods just got spotted.
He did. Yep.
And I'm excited. I hope he's recovering well and he's taking the time he needs. But, if Tiger Woods can be on a golf course by next year, and win again by next year. Now look,
think it'll be by next year.
I don't know. I'm very optimistic, but
you are.
I mean, Tiger Woods isn't a human.
He's
a goat.
Yeah, they said whenever like he got released from the hospital, got all his surgeries done, he was doing 7 hours of therapy every day. 7 hours of therapy, dude. I did therapy for my back for like an hour, and I was in pain.
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
What's up with these voice cracks?
Yeah, I don't. Chet, you're growing up. I
want to be like you, Hank.
No, you don't. At least you have hair. Anyway, yeah, Tiger obviously is very dedicated to his body because it's what has gotten him to where he is today. It doesn't surprise me. You know, we know in the 2019 Masters, when they moved the tee times up on the final round, that he actually had to set his alarm for 3 a.m. to
mm-hmm.
get his body warmed up just to play.
Yeah.
So
it's dedication, dude.
Not only is it dedication,
it's what makes him Tiger.
But it's also just that guy wants to win more than anything. Yeah. And I think he is truly going to come back. I don't know if he'll come back next year. I don't know if he'll win next year if he does come back. But I think the major record, crossing my fingers that he does it, I don't think he will. I hope he
will. I thought this was the Tiger show.
But I think for sure, that man wants to get one more win to get out of the tie with Sam Snead.
100%.
And if he does that and never plays again, I won't be upset in the slightest. I mean, I'll be upset.
Right.
But at least, you know.
But you got to get to a point of satisfaction to where just all the things he's done is just insane. So, I mean, you can only do so much, but it is Tiger, so you never know. But. So you got to get to this point of satisfaction where it's like, okay, I've done all I can. Maybe it's time to, you know, move on. But, I mean, you can't have all the records. You can, I guess.
He could have. He should have instead of training with Navy SEALs in 06. But anyway. I know
way too much about Tiger's life, dude.
I know what the internet tells me. I don't know anything else. But, you know, very excited. We could sit here and talk about this little blurb the rest of the show.
Yeah.
But we'll go ahead and move on here. Chet, you take the lead on this one.
Yeah, so looking back at the Shriners this week, 24 under won it, which is insane. You can say the course was easy. It probably was playing easier than most courses. Definitely talent, though. I mean, we can't go out there and do that. But definitely, course was all around more gettable than, say, your U.S. Open courses. So I just raised the question, which is more entertaining coming down the stretch, a harder course or an easy course? For me, I'd say the harder course. Sungjae Im last year won the Honda Classic, 2020 Honda Classic at 6 under, I believe, which was fun to see. It was fun to see.
Yeah, the wind was howling that whole week.
Yeah. I like to see good players struggle, and I think a lot of people do, just because makes us feel like they're more human.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, versus going out and shooting 24 under every weekend through four rounds. So, I just think coming down the stretch, you know, say Sungjae Im has a one-stroke lead, and Matthew Wolff's coming down 18. I want to see him earn it, I'd say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you can earn it on an easier golf course, more gettable golf course. I won't say easier because they're not easy courses, but it just takes more grit and more focus on a harder course like a U.S. Open in those conditions versus an easier course.
Oh, absolutely. So my question is, on average, what would you like the winning score to be?
That's a good question. I'd say 10 under at most.
At most?
At most. So, like, 10 under being the max.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to kind of meet in the middle. I'm going to disagree a little bit.
Okay.
So I think, yes, I want it to be difficult for the players, but... You know, I think when you get to the 12 to 15, 16 under, I think that is the perfect kind of winning number, because you're seeing a lot of birdies, but you're also probably seeing quite a few mistakes. We look at Augusta more often than not, except maybe 2016, it's 12 to 15 under is the winner. I can think of 2019,
yeah.
2018, I think was 11. Who won in 2018? Patrick Reed won in 2018. He was at 15 under. So I think, you know, when you get to the 6-5, even, you know, the U.S. Opens when they're 1 under, I mean, yeah, I enjoy watching players, you know, Phil Mickelson run to the other side of the green to hit a ball that's still moving.
Okay, that's controversial.
Very controversial. Yeah, but
I don't like that.
But I think... I want to see a mix. A perfect example would be Thursday in the 2020 Masters. This is confusing. There's the November Masters, which is 2020. And then there's
got postponed because of COVID.
So I'm talking the 2021 Masters.
Yeah.
The Thursday, where everyone was kind of, you know, 2-3 under.
Yep.
But if you're a guy like Justin Rose, who starts to play darts instead of golf, you can go out there and fire up a 64, 63, 65. I love it because, and Augusta is a kind of a cheat code when it comes to this question, because it's gettable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is not, and you can easily make a mistake that costs you the weekend or the whole tournament, Jordan Spieth.
Make me cry.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to talk about it. Screw you, Danny Willett. Anyway. I think I definitely think there's a good median of, you know, 10 under at most. You know, I like to see it 10 to 15. Now, when you get to the 24 unders, it is. I don't want to.
It's boring.
It's just a birdie fest.
Yeah.
Now, it's not boring if, and this is with any tournament, if you got two people
yes.
doing this.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when you get these gettable courses like the Shriners, it seems like it's always one guy who just hits a different gear, but because the course is gettable, he just, you know, gets a 5-6 shot lead.
Right.
And I think, you know, ultimately, I'd rather see it in the Augusta, and even the U.S. Open. I do love seeing carnage. But I wouldn't hate seeing a U.S. Open get to 6, 7 under, even 10 under. And if it got to 15 under, I know the USGA and every single golf mm-hmm. writer in the world would be pissed.
Oh yeah.
But, I mean, it's for the casual. I mean, the casual fans are watching, and when they're, you know, Shinnecock 2018, when people, the winning score was what, 1 under?
Brooks. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's fun, but you're watching more people make mistakes than you are more people make birdies. So I think you got to have that fine line. And I think, you know, 10 at the least to 15, 16 is kind of the sweet spot. After 16, I'll agree, it does get a little kind of just birdie fest-ish. Yeah. But I think that's where I really enjoy tournaments, especially because usually if a tournament's the leaders at 12, 13, 14 under, I always feel like the leaderboard's always kind of packed around mm-hmm. that number.
That's
too
fair. Yeah, that's fair.
And then you also look at it, you know, 16 under, 15 under is essentially yeah. 4 under a day.
Yeah.
So, which is incredible. If I could do that for 4 days in a row.
Imagine.
I can't, no.
It'd be fun.
But I think, you know, I think that's the sweet spot.
That's fair. You say you like to see a little bit where... Let me rephrase. So 10 under being the max, you said you see more disappointments more rather than birdies, I guess, more bogeys
yeah,
than birdies.
Yeah, you're seeing more mistakes.
Okay. I see that as, like I said, going back to it makes them feel more normal to the casual watcher
mm-hmm.
Or player. Because the rough is so thick, which that I think is another issue, is the rough being so thick to where you can't even get it to the green on a par four, I think is a little much, because you have to hit the fairway. But, I mean, at the same time, I do like to see, you know, one or two birdies aside rather than, you know, it's just 28 under on the side.
Yeah.
So,
no, I mean, the thick rough, and we could spend a whole show just talking about the fixes to this long drive issue, which isn't really an issue, but
no.
You know, the long rough. I like it when the rough is incredibly
yeah,
long.
It's challenging.
But and it's that's how it kind of should be, because should be, yeah. you're paying the price of not hitting the fairway. But I do think when the course is set up like that, you know, as a casual fan, you're never going to play. Maybe once a year you're playing a course like that, you know, by chance.
Yeah.
You know, I've played one course that I would say is PGA Tour caliber this year. And even then, it's not there's a Champions Tour event there. Mm. And I shot awful. So.
That's all right.
But, you know, I definitely think, you know, there's a fine line, and this also brings up, you know, the whole equipment, you know, driving too far or the course is too short. I don't think that's the case. I think, you know, you got to get the fast greens, a little bit thick rough where we can get some birdies, but if you miss in just the right, you know, yeah. wrong spot, you're paying the price.
Right.
And some courses, I think Augusta's a great example. Augusta doesn't even have a second cut.
No.
So, you know, that just goes to show what those greens are like. But,
yeah,
you know, I think overall, yeah, I'm stuck in that 10 to 16 number, Chet. You got
me. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, we'll see for sure when the U.S. Open comes around.
Okay.
And we'll see, you know, what the winning number is.
Okay.
That'll be a good little game, Chet.
Should we take a bet?
Well, not now. We got,
I
like
know, I'm just
4
saying,
months.
I'm
saying, I'll bet
I'm
you
saying.
Anything.
Saying when the time comes.
Oh, Chad, I'm always down for a good bet. So
I want to. So back to, you mentioned Patrick Reed.
Uh huh. 2018.
So what's your take on Patrick Reed? Like, do you? I mean, everybody's take on Patrick Reed is he the villain?
Patrick Reed is the villain.
He's the villain.
But I think the real villain is Justine. I think his wife has brainwashed him. To the point of no return, to the point where you're winning a Masters 2 miles from your family home and you kick your family off of Augusta National.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Patrick Reed is very good. He's, even with the cheating allegations and everything, it's clear that the guy is one of the most talented guys on tour.
Yeah.
I don't like him.
No.
And I know where you're segueing this to. So when
you want me to ask the question, Henry, how did you get blocked by Patrick Reed on Twitter?
I did get blocked by Patrick Reed on Twitter. So for those of you who don't know, he won the Masters in 2018. In that tournament, we had Jordan Spieth firing up a 64 until a heartbreaking tee shot on 18.
It was devastating.
We had Ricky Fowler birdie 18 to get within one. And we had Patrick Reed get lucky on 17 with a chip that hit the flagstick instead of rolling off the edge of the green. So we had Ricky Fowler, who doesn't have a major and now has fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah, unfortunately. Hate to see it.
Jordan Spieth, post-2016 Masters. You're thinking, oh my gosh, is this... And Patrick Reed just ruins it for everybody. So I was a little bit of a Twitter tyrant on Patrick Reed there for a little bit. And on the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
I went ahead and tweeted at him, and I said, well, he tweeted something like watching fireworks with the family and then like a picture of like Happy Fourth or something. I don't know. I don't know why he would ever tweet that, idiot. And I tweeted
a little hostile over here.
I tweeted at him. I said, I hope your green jacket catches fire from a firework. Jordan Spieth should have won. And he blocked me. And I stand by that statement.
100%, especially after he blocked you. Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Just made, yeah.
And
that is hilarious.
You know, Twitter, I don't know. Patrick digs himself so many holes. And that's not even a pun because
especially
of,
in the sand.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's not even a pun for how he, you know, acts on the course.
Yeah.
I think his wife has a lot to do with it. I would like to see Patrick Reed sometime in this career arc of his redeem himself, either by getting a divorce or,
yikes,
you know, kind of just not being just a terrible guy. I mean, you have Kevin Kisner, who played with him at Georgia, hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick cheated, supposedly, stole alcohol from older classmates, and then he goes to Augusta. He does win 2 NCAA titles, which is a testament to the guy's talent.
Yeah,
clearly he's good.
He's good.
Not sure why he cheats.
Yeah, he does. It's just
he doesn't need to
cheat.
So
disappointing to see.
You know, we had the incident with the embedded ball this year. So he just finds a way every year to just make a butt of himself.
Yeah.
And I would like to see him turn it around. I don't think he ever will. And, you know, you saw he didn't get the captain's nod for the Ryder Cup. And part of you thinks, is it because of what happened in 2018 with the slander that he went and talked after the Ryder Cup? And you have all these things. You're there to play golf, Patrick. You love playing golf. You're very good at it. Quit. He's basically digging holes where he doesn't even need a shovel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So be a better team player. Be a better person. I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah, I just want to say that there's so many talented players out there on many tours who are trying to get to that level, and then it's just so disappointing to see him cheat when he's at that level, and he's a very talented player. He doesn't need to be doing that. Just swallow your medicine and move on. It's like it hurts us.
It does, and it. I mean, he knows he's found out how bad it hurts him, mm-hmm. you know, but he even cheated in an exhibition tournament.
Yeah.
The Hero World Challenge. It's Tiger puts it on every year for like the top 30 players. There's a couple other little things, but he cheated there. I mean, you don't get an accredited PGA Tour win on your record for winning this. You don't. I mean,
it's basically for fun.
It's for fun. You get a little bit of momentum if you do win.
Yeah.
Unless you're Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
But, you know, usually it's just a good thing, you know, a good little event for fans. Why are you cheating? What
does
it matter?
There's no point.
And the worst part is he gives you a lame excuse as to why he thought he wasn't cheating.
Yeah.
It was a waste area, not a bunker.
You just got to own it. It's like, you know what you did. Just own up to it. You know what you did. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, we can talk about this all day long. Kind of went away from...
We don't, but he did block me on Twitter. Yeah. He did. I have been blocked. I can't see his tweets. I can see Use Golf Facts tweets, though. Justine, his wife, has a burner account, and she'll actually tweet golf writers.
Yep.
You know, because her big thing right now is Patrick in the majors is always going early, late early instead of early. On the first 2 days, he's going out late and then playing early the next day. And there's no scientific proof that you're more likely to win one or the other. But there's Justine tweeting, you know, 56% of players who went out at the opposite are more likely to win. I don't know. It's they just dig themselves holes and they don't make themselves likable whatsoever.
But nobody's perfect. But it's,
I'll forgive him someday.
Yeah. So, with all that frustration, did you take it out on the course last weekend?
Well, I can, you know, unfortunately, I did ask all you listeners out there, I did ask Chet to play. He said no, because he had a wedding. Really? Anyway.
Don't do that.
No, he had every right to, I mean, obviously he has to go to his wedding. But we actually got to play rounds out at Castle Hills in Vandalia, Ohio, and Heatherwood Golf Club there in Springboro. We walked 18, Saturday at Castle. I shot 70, I was seven over, and then I birdied the last two. Hang on, I got to do the math here. So I shot five over, par 71. I shot 76.
Pretty good.
Not awful. Usually I feel like I had a pull cart this time, so I didn't get as tired. But I hit some good putts. I hit a couple decent shots in there, but it was one of those days where I didn't think I played that great. I was seven over with four to play, and I managed to steal two on the way in.
Just solid.
Which I felt real good about.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought I hit the ball really well. So transition that to Heatherwood. Heatherwood is one of the nicer courses in the Miami Valley. Very well taken care of. To put it in perspective, they literally said they aerated the greens a week and a half ago, and I had to re-ask the starter. I was like, did you guys really aerate these greens? Because they looked that good.
Wow.
You know, I should have shot under par yesterday. I missed a five-footer for eagle. I missed three five-footers for birdie. I missed two three-footers to save par after great chips. And then I doubled the last hole because it was a 490-yard par four dead end of the wind with a hazard to the right. And you best believe I didn't commit and left it out to the right.
Yeah, that's so natural. Hole 18's tough, though.
It was a good day, though, and it was absolutely gorgeous. There was a nice little breeze until later in the day. It did get a little windy, but if you are in Ohio and you live in the Miami Valley, I highly recommend. I will put out some plugs for Castle Hills and Heatherwood, both great tracks.
Oh, yeah.
You play in the afternoon at Castle, it is only $30. So great little track. They are aerating the greens Tuesday because I did ask. So if you're not a fan of bumpy greens, I would not recommend going there. But Heatherwood, they aerated. They're a little bit pricier, though. It was about $80 to play at Heatherwood Sunday morning.
Heatherwood's such a fun track. It's very well taken care of, like you said.
It's worth it.
It's beautiful.
Did
they have those ATVs?
They did. So they actually have a motorcycle and ATV golf carts for it's like COVID, a COVID thing. So... it's so there's only one rider.
Right.
My gosh.
Dude, what is happening?
But another cool thing is they've actually redone their entire, you know, bar and restaurant and patio. So, I mean, I can't afford to be a member there, but it is a really cool little place. You know, you got all the old guys sitting out there smoking their cigars and, you know, I will say out of any course I've been to around here, the practice facility at Heatherwood is 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's solid for
they
sure.
They got music playing on the range. They got a chipping green. They got two or three putting greens.
Yeah.
So highly recommend getting out there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Heatherwood's really fun. I also like Beaver Creek, but I'll talk about that another
Beaver Creek and Heatherwood are my two favorites around the area. For sure. Beaver Creek, Except their greens are brutal, but that's we can talk about our home courses all the time. Let's go ahead and transition to our last little segment here. First, we're going to go over some rules for our pick'ems and how we panned out last week. So we were talking, because there's only one true winner, we were talking just taking the average of all our guys' and how they finished, and then whoever has the best average wins that week in pick'ems. But since our man across from me here managed to
Sung J.M., my
pick
guy.
The winner.
I picked him.
Chet has picked the winner.
He was actually my last pick.
And it was his last pick. And so he gets the nod. He wins the first week's pick'ems. He is 1-0.
Round of applause.
Round of applause out there for Chet. He got lucky.
I did.
I cannot express how let down I am by Ricky Fowler. Someday he'll come back. So that is the new rule. Plan is to still take averages of finish. Unless
gotta make the cut.
Gotta make the cut. If not, you're losing a spot for your average, which in turn hurts you.
Yeah.
And if we're not, if you pick the winner, automatic win, doesn't matter what the average is.
Mm-hmm.
So Chet is 1-0. You know, everybody, blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Chet, I'm not worried about this
bold,
week.
Bold.
So this week preview, we got the CJ Cup. This is the next three tournaments are kind of usually the big ones for the fall season. We got CJ, we got Zozo, and CJ is the first one up here.
Yep.
And the strength of field.
Oh my gosh.
Is, you know, for the fall, I always feel like the fall is kind of a down time for some of these big names.
Normally is.
But not this week.
I mean,
we have pretty much number one player in the. I don't think John Rahm's playing, actually.
No.
We got Dustin Johnson. We got JT. We got Xander. Rory McIlroy. Colin Morikawa. I mean, the field is deep.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great week.
Yep.
It makes our pick'ems hard, but it's just exciting. You know, you have the hangover of the Ryder Cup. You got some low-level events. Not because they're small events, but because the strength of field just isn't there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we leave the Shriners and we're heading right to a powerhouse. I'd say probably the first big tournament of the year now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, we got a bunch of guys here who are looking to start off on the right foot.
Got to get them FedEx Cup points.
Yep. And, you know, I can tell you, I watched a little bit of golf this past weekend. I am for sure going to be watching some golf this weekend.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of big names. Now, I know last week we said we were going to alternate who picks first for pick'ems.
We can still do that.
I think it's only fair if you win.
Okay.
Because I'm going to win.
You got to pick the winner, though.
If you pick the winner, you pick first.
Yes.
I think we'll see what our fans think.
Yeah. You guys.
We'll tweet a little poll.
Yeah, we'll tweet a poll. We'll put it on Instagram. So.
But we're going to give the nod to Chet here.
Okay.
And you can dive in a bit about your first pick since it's such a big deal.
You know who I'm picking. All right, so I'm going with the one, the only Jordan Spieth. It's Jordan Spieth. I mean, me and Hank are both big Jordan Spieth fans. If you couldn't tell between two episodes, yeah. I mean, first tournament back since the Ryder Cup. He played decent in the Ryder Cup, but. I think he's going to be right there in the mix this week.
Oh, I have no doubt. You know, Jordan Spieth was in the slump. Last year was electric.
Yep.
And, you know, he did win Valero, but I think we're in store for a big Jordan Spieth year. Just got to get him to close. He's always having one iffy day, you know, the Open this year.
Saturday. Normally on Saturdays where he
if he doesn't bogey 17 and 18 on Saturday at the Open, he might be calling. So I think it's a great pick, Chet. I'm upset that you picked him.
I know.
But obviously, you know, I'm going to make my pick here, Jordan Spieth. No. I'm going to follow my gut here. He played well, you know, 2 weeks ago, obviously, when he won. He played well last week, just didn't have, everything go his way. I'm picking Sam Burns again. Guy is on a tear. He's swinging confident.
I don't think he's getting burnt out. Ha-ha, oh, boom.
But I'm nice.
Sorry.
No, he's been playing really well. He's another one of those young guys who I think, you know, right now especially, I would not be surprised if he gets another top five, if not a win this week.
Okay, my second pick. I gotta keep the pairing together.
You gotta be kidding me.
I stole his pick again. I'm going JT, Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas?
Yeah,
I don't know why I said that. Justin Thomas, you know, great ball striker, great guy, great friend of Jordan Spieth, so it's only right that I pick him. I feel like he's going to come hot off of the Ryder Cup, you know, taking a couple weeks off. Definitely should have put him in the right mind. And new caddy on the bag this week.
Oh, that's a fair new point. Caddy I did on the not bag even this think week. About that.
So I think he's going to come out swinging hard. So.
I think you're right, Chad. I think we are due for a big JT year. Yep. You know, we haven't. He won the Players last year. You know, 2017 was really his breakout year.
Yeah.
But I think we're due. We're due for a big JT year, whether it's a major or a couple big tournament wins. I think Bones on the bag. Yeah, he's well on his way to having a good season already with the legend that is Bones on his bag. Give me one. There is my mouse. So my pick. This might be. Oh man, this is tough. You got me.
Sorry. I know who you're picking.
No, I'm not, Chet. I'm going to go against my gut here, but I think, you know, I think he's due for a good week. He's got some rest in him now. Hopefully kind of got rejuvenated, not as burnt out as he was at the end of the season. I'm going Rory McIlroy. Only because I really want to see Rory McIlroy play well, and I think he could. He's one of those guys who I know he's been in a sort of a slump, but I have no doubt that any given week, Rory can go out there and win.
Man.
So, it's ballsy. That's
very ballsy.
But you know what, Chet? I want to prove you wrong. You pick.
Hey, I hope you do. I really hope you do. I'm going to pick a rookie in the Ryder Cup, from the Ryder Cup. The Irishman.
Shane Lowry, huh?
I think that's bold.
That is
I don't
bold.
Know if this course sets up well for him, but you never know, man. He's got that fire inside of him. He could pop off any moment. So I love Shane Lowry, great guy. Pulling for him this week. If Jordan Spieth doesn't win. But yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Well, now Chet probably knows who I'm picking, since he didn't take my pick again. Other than Jordan and JT, out of all the young guys, this is my dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I could ever just be in the presence of the Xander zone, I would love it. I'm going Xander Schauffele.
It's a good pick.
Schauffele, as I've heard it. You know, coming off the Ryder Cup, a decent season.
Yeah. He's always right there, man.
And he is due for a win.
He is.
He just, I don't know what, you know, it's not even like he chokes it away. You know, he loses in a playoff.
Right.
And it's not even that he. You know, he barely lost that
right,
one. It was a 360 or a 180 lip out or something crazy. Yep. So I'm going Xander.
Okay.
He's always due for a good week. And I got faith in him. He's coming off a good Ryder Cup too. So
yeah,
momentum's
sure,
on his side.
Okay. Sure. So my fourth pick, right? Yeah. Fourth
yes,
pick. I'm going with the greatest ball striker right now. I don't know if I say greatest ball striker, but he's one of the most solid ball strikers to this day. Colin Morikawa, young buck. He's due, I think. I mean, it's Colin Morikawa. You just don't know when he's going to pop off. You don't know when he's going to fall back. But, I'm willing to take a bet with him.
I think you know, Colin Morikawa is the kind of guy who – he's not. I mean, he's a young guy, but he's experienced now.
Yeah,
he's got two majors, a couple other tournament wins. There's no doubt in my mind that he could go out there this week and just put on a clinic and
100%.
hit great iron shots and just casually take care of business.
Yeah,
solid pick. It's wrong, but it's a solid pick. I'm going to go ahead and take another ballsy pick here.
Hey, that's okay.
A guy who seemed to be in the top 10 every week for about a month and a half span. He's due for a PGA Tour win. I'm kind of going international here all around the, you know, I guess I got two Americans. I'm going Cameron Smith, though.
Ooh.
Give me the mullet.
Okay.
I think
mullet, you know, mustache.
The thing with Cameron is he's streaky. So you're either getting a Cameron who's going to go out there and make the cut, finish top 30.
Yeah.
Or you get the Cameron who has 18 putts for 18 holes.
Yeah.
You know, and goes out there and just drains everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crossing my fingers we get that Cameron this week. You know, and just a piece of advice for him if he ever checks this podcast out. Get rid of the mustache, dude. It doesn't look good.
Yeah, it's a little wonky.
But you know,
that's a good pick. I wouldn't put it past him to win this week. He's a good fantasy pick. I pick him a lot in fantasy.
Oh, I know you do, Chet.
Yeah. But okay, so my final pick. Oh man. I feel like I haven't gone ballsy yet.
You haven't. I'm having fun with this, Chet.
I know.
Are you American? I couldn't tell.
USA. I think I'm going back to back weekends. Sungjae Im.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to. He didn't let me down this week, so I mean.
And you picked him last.
Or last week.
Last week too.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that's a solid pick. You know, he's coming off a win.
Yeah, I feel like this course is kind of similar to Summerlin, so I think he'll fare well this week. So I mean, bring on the M, baby. Let's go.
I have no doubt he'll be in at least the top 15 because he's just a machine.
Yeah, he is.
For my last pick, I normally wouldn't truly pick him with how his season was last year. But after seeing him play in the Ryder Cup, I think Dustin Johnson is trending in a very good direction. You know, he's usually the type of guy who falls out of number one in the world and then just casually wins a couple tournaments to get right back up there.
Right.
And with how he played at the Ryder Cup, we're due. I think he's due for a DJ win. And, you know, this is a big tournament. I think DJ's got every, you know, we know DJ has every facet of his game pretty much that can compete with anybody. So right. If he continues that upward trend of the Ryder Cup, I have no doubt in my mind he's going to go out there. I'm expecting at least the top five from him.
I don't put it past you. I mean, it's DJ. He just goes out there and hits the ball and chases it around, and he does well. So, yeah, he's favored number one this week on the lines, DraftKings. So, yeah, it's a good pick.
Oh,
safe,
yeah.
Safe pick.
Very safe.
Which, yeah, all my picks have been safe. So,
yeah, no kidding, Jordan and Justin. But
Shane Lowry, I don't know if that's safe.
You never really know.
Never know.
Does he really play on the PGA Tour that much? I feel like he's mostly European Tour.
Yeah, yeah.
So but he's a great guy.
I love the guy.
I love him.
He's like a big teddy bear.
But, you know, that's our pick'ems for this week. We got the CJ Cup coming up. We're very excited. I have a lot of confidence in my picks. I'm going to get the record to even here. You know, looking forward to next week. We want to express our thanks
for
everything you guys have, you know, listening, whether it's on your drive to work, whether you're able to watch the video, whether you're able to just listen. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're trying something new here. So every week we're going to get better.
Yep.
And hopefully, you know, every week you're learning something new. You know, like that Chet likes to crash weddings instead of golf or, you know, or he just picks the easy pick-ems.
Whoa, hey.
You know, so there's a lot.
Hey, I'm 1-0 right now, so.
There's a lot of things you guys are learning about Chet. So, but, you know, again, just thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You've kind of reinvigorated us to get in here. You know, because we are, you know, we're busy people.
Yep.
So we want to make sure we're putting out a good product. So, you know, we're going to try to get a little bit more active this week with Twitter.
Yep.
First thing first, I'm going to tweet the tiger picture.
Yeah, I'll put it on Instagram on our story.
And we have a poll that we need to do.
We'll put a poll out there.
But other than that, we want you guys to feel comfortable to tweet us, text us if you have any, you know, ideas.
Any feedback.
Because, you know, we want to not only have fun doing this, which we do, but we want you guys to have fun listening. So, again, just thank you. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And, you know, looking forward to next week. We will be here ready to go.
Yep.
But until then, this is the Muni Pros Podcast. This is your second episode. Keep an eye on Twitter, Instagram, and
YouTube will be up.
YouTube will also be up. That is new this week. So, and next week we'll actually have a tripod. So,
yeah, there we go.
Lots of good things coming your way. We hope you have a safe and a great week. Enjoy the fall weather. I think it's supposed to get cold. And we will be right back here Monday, although you won't get it till Tuesday. Suck us.
Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Yeah, my God. Anyway, thank you so much. I'm Henry Bourne alongside.
I'm Chad Jamison.
Everybody have a great evening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys.